inspiration ye hai ki Pakistan us tarah ka ek insaniyat ka nizam.
My inspiration is this: that Pakistan will be the kind of welfare state where we take care of our poor people. But unfortunately, our state is the opposite of that, with its inhumane system where might is right.
That's Imran Khan, the charismatic cricket star who was elected last week to become Pakistan's next prime minister. Khan has vowed to fight corruption at the highest levels and to stand up for the poor. And he said he won't be living in the prime minister's mansion, for example. But he's also been a fierce critic of the American war on terror and its impact on Pakistan. In recent days, Khan has come under heightened scrutiny. And now he is being criticized for alleged ties to the military, which are claims that he rejects. Osama bin Javid is a Pakistani journalist who's been covering the elections, and he joins us from Islamabad.
Imran Khan's been in politics for the last 22 years. He started off by starting up philanthropic projects as well as a university. He started off right after he won the World Cup, so he has been a charismatic leader who could talk to Pakistanis, not just inside but outside Pakistan, and have an audience. And now his 22 years struggle has culminated in him most probably getting the prime minister's slot. They're in good numbers and they will not need any major coalition partner, so it is likely that he is going to win. As a person, Imran Khan struggled with a number of challenges throughout his life because his image was of a Western educated Pakistani who's lived most of his life abroad. He was considered somebody who was very popular among women as well. And that is an image that he had to overcome. He got married, he had children, then he got divorced, then he got married again, and now he's in his third marriage. Because it is a conservative Muslim society, so his current wife is a spiritual guide who has a large following among others as well. So Imran Khan's, like he said, a charismatic leader, somebody who can pull crowds, and especially now that he is eyeing the top job of the country, he's acceptable to all sorts of the political spectrum.
Now, he's also been very vocal about fighting corruption, but his issue has been that it's not necessarily extremism, it's governance that's the problem. What is his take on, what does he vow to do to change that?
Well, he's got an ambitious 100-day plan, which involves about 10 million jobs and hundreds of thousands of homes. I call it ambitious because that is the assessment, because he might be able to start the legwork in that direction, but I don't think that he'd be able to achieve all of it that he's promised in the first 100 days. There is a massive reforms agenda. Imran Khan's built this election campaign on fighting corruption. He's said that all of the traditional parties, and especially the leadership of those parties, is corrupt. These are people who've been involved in kickbacks and looting the country and depriving its people of their rights. And he says when he comes to power, he is going to make sure that there is an egalitarian system which does not differentiate between the rich and the poor, and there are enough opportunities for the poor to rise up. That is something that he's taken on board in his campaign, as well as the people that he surrounded himself with, albeit there has been a lot of criticism about the kind of people that Imran Khan surrounded himself, people who are so-called electables, who've won elections with other parties, people who've helped him come to power and win a majority of seats. So it is going to be an interesting few months in Pakistan, where Imran Khan, the politician, will have to make sure that he delivers as Imran Khan, the leader.
There were also concerns from rival parties that said that the ballots had were counted in secret and potential for election fraud. Is any of that true?
Well, these are so far claims by political parties. I was covering the election. I've been covering the elections for nearly two decades now. This is by far one of the most professionally held elections, where the accusations of rigging and vote fraud during the election process did not rise up. Although there were concerns during the vote process that it is too slow, and some political parties wanted the polling hours to be extended, but by and large, they didn't have complaints about any voter intimidation or cases of rigging that we've seen in the past. What happened afterwards when polling closed is a lot of their polling agents, people who were their representatives at polling centers, who were supposed to be present when the seals of the ballot boxes were to be broken, they were kicked out. And the votes were counted in secret. That has led people to believe that these votes were counted in a way where Imran Khan's party won a majority of seats. And you see that because only Imran Khan's party has accepted these results. All major political parties say that there was massive rigging and their mandate was stolen. The other thing is that this was the first time where you saw a massive deployment of Pakistan's military. The military, because of its checkered history with politics, is not trusted by everyone. So it is now largely believed, and the military is being accused of counting those votes in a way where they favored Imran Khan's party. All of these claims have obviously been denied by Imran Khan and his party, as well as the military, because there's been no evidence that has been put forth for this. And the Election Commission has come out and said that it carried out and it conducted as free and a fair poll that it could.
Give us a sense of, as he's preparing to take over, what the future of Pakistan looks like politically and also internationally with relationships with the United States, among others.
Well, Imran Khan's first speech was very measured. There was an element of reconciliation in his voice, in his tone. He talked about how he wants to make sure that any allegation of fraud that has been leveled against him is investigated internally. So politically, he wants to build bridges rather than go on an adversarial tone that we saw in the previous government between him and the previous government. And Pakistan faces a myriad of challenges, including the economy, the security, and foreign policy. The economy, it looks like, is heading towards another bailout by the International Monetary Fund. If the government decides not to go for the International Monetary Fund, the choices that it might have are going to be money borrowed from either China or Saudi Arabia or both. In terms of security, Pakistan's been put on a Financial Action Task Force list because of not doing enough to fight terrorism, and that's something that the new government will have to make sure that it challenges as well. And then again, there is this whole issue with India on the eastern border and Afghanistan on the western border. There is talk of the United States trying to reinitiate negotiations with the Taliban. Imran Khan has had a better relation than others amongst politicians in Pakistan with the Taliban in the Khyber Pakhtunkhwa province. That's the province where he ruled for the last 5 years. So it is going to be not an easy ride. And obviously, because he's now taken charge from traditional rivals who are very strong in politics inside Pakistan, so he will have a very strong opposition, which will be at his throat throughout his tenure in the next 5 years.
Osama bin Javid is a Pakistani journalist currently in Islamabad. Osama, thank you for being with us.
Pleasure.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.